Welcome to Parhesia Hour on K-Chung Radio. I am your host, Kern Haug, and today we have guest Stephen Lee Clark.
Hey, what's up?
Brought in a few songs.
I have.
For us to listen to today. I've also got Ignat hanging out here.
Yeah.
Kind of maybe chiming in later. And as per usual, got this this theme music of the show in the back going. We're going to start the show listening to one of the songs Stephen's brought in. Would you like to tell us anything about it?
Yeah, so Kern came and said, let's put together a few songs and just come on the show. And I was like, let's fucking do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, I just put together some stuff I've been listening to for a long time, stuff I've just, like, revisited, try to make it maybe flow together a little bit, definitely changes throughout the stuff, but, yeah,
the first track, Rain, the Last Foundry.
Slaps.
And so we'll get into that right now. Thank you. Cool.
Yeah, that was Rame, called The Last Foundry. Songs incredibly slap. Yeah, they're on Black Is Ever Black. Really fucking tight label.
Yeah, I really like the... and as a note to anyone listening, this is a show in which I really like the idea of thinking about music, and by thinking, I kind of mean talking, because I like to talk and think at the same time. And this is... Yeah, to me, this is music that really... I don't know, there's like a lot...
Dude, I love how... There's just, you know, a simple approach to it, but then there's just so many different... There's open space, but it's just filled with, like, a lot of great, I don't know, it's just, I love the emptiness of it, and, like, and it's filled with just good, like, low-end, fucking amazing, like, bass. If you can listen to it with a lot of bass, it's just amazing. And I love, like, the repetitiveness. It's one of my favorite things about it. That recording is one of my favorite recordings in a long time, dude.
It really makes me imagine the setting in which potential settings to listen to it, mm-hmm. and like what is the most appropriate, like a giant stone building with like columns filling
It's funny you mention that because that album, it just brings me back to being on tour for fucking ever and pitch black in the middle of the night, like in the back of the van, listening to that, like literally losing my mind. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm not right now. And it was the best, dude.
It was a grounding force.
Yeah. That shit got me through so many like pitch black Midwest fields that I was like, just vast nothing, dude. And it was really tight.
It really does feel like it sort of defines a space of nothing, like a vastness.
And that's what I love about their music, is they like leave these open spaces, and there's a lot of stuff I listen to like that. They leave these open spaces, and it's filled with whatever you're experiencing right then. You know, I mean, in your mind, and how it's up to you what you fill it with, and it's just like, not to mention the music's fucking.
And that's interesting, because that's particularly kind of a theme I've been getting into here on the show, is music that sort of leaves you in a reflective space where it almost like guides you through thoughts without telling you what to think.
Absolutely.
But rather allows you to fill
it with what you're like, your own emotions and stuff like that, as opposed to some shredder that fills up every single split,
which can be an opposite side of the spectrum where it almost like doesn't give you time to think. Mm-hmm. I think there's definitely music that appeals to me where it's like so much is happening at every moment, like every rhythm is happening at once and every note's happening at once, and there's no time to think, so it just sort of is like
I got a song on here like that too, with like just a bunch of drum samples, drum beats, and it's the shit, and it's the same thing. Just
Here I feel like a lot more patience involved, where like you have to be, if you're in a hurry, it could pass you by, but if you're like not in a hurry, there's gonna be like a lot to be gained.
I love that song. That band's damn amazing. I've yet to see them live, but
I was gonna ask that,
man. I would love to, dude.
I always think of them, or I imagine, what's that big, the famous Berlin techno venue? Not techno, but like somewhat.
Electronic
music in general. I just picture this. This is the security guard, the door guy, wrote like an autobiography, and you have to like be cool enough to get let in.
Yeah. Like, and now they have chips under your skin that you can get into.
Oh, really?
No, I don't know. That'd be terrible.
I hear it's he just stands there and he's like, "Do you look like you fit in here? Okay, you can come in.
If
you
don't." Nope. Next.
Like, no, yeah. He's like, this is my party. It's up to him. I think you gotta like, no, you gotta, you know, if you have to ask, you, I don't know. Or if you have to come up with your own answer, and he decides if your answer is like works. but it leaves it open.
That's kind of how I run my life, actually.
Yeah.
Nope, not let him.
Yeah.
But you guys are in, so don't worry.
Cool. And by you, he means all of you listening out there to K-Chung.
Exactly.
11:60 a.m. or something. Yeah. Actually, I think I got that wrong. 16:30. Yeah, that's what I mean. In the back, I've got the 60-minute boiler room DJ set from Rame, which is...
Oh, yeah, I've seen... It's fucking tight.
Yeah, it's like sort of like just getting into it.
Mm-hmm.
Which is kind of tight. The next song we have sort of queued up here, Podblots.
Oh, yeah. Fucking love Podblots. Based out of L.A., I believe, right now.
Yeah, I'm familiar with it from back in the Bay Area.
Yeah, I think they're from a few different places. If I'm not mistaken, I think they're out of L.A. now. But yeah. I've just been putting out so much good shit for a really long time. But yeah, I've been listening to a lot of this Nostavello, obviously, this record label based out of L.A. also, run by Silent Servant. Just fucking good shit after good shit. After good shit. It's pretty mind-blowing, but
yeah that's always an exciting thing to run into,
dude.
Like in a new label.
Yeah, just like dive into the band camp, fucking spend a couple weeks there. It's hella good.
Tight. Let's here, I'll get into that, lower this for a moment.
The song's called Flesh and Knives. I'm gonna go get some more.
That's a little tight.
That was part of the nice set.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that was Pod Blots.
Steve. Here.
Thanks.
Yeah, so I was looking up a little information about Pod Blots during that. And so, yeah, Susie Poling is the artist behind Pod Blots, and currently based in Oakland. I think the label based in LA.
LA, yeah, Nesta Levo.
And I was, yeah, on her bio, I kind of liked the description she had, made me think of some things, like her audio work is oral version of just to mention, she does very multimedia artists, lots of video art, visual art that her SusiePoling.com is full of. Her audio work is oral version of an extensive body of visual work and research. Overall, Poling is concerned with hypnotic realms, natural phenomenon, ecological oddities, human experience in relation to ecology, systemized order of space, and comprehension of entropy. That's like a lot to think about.
Yeah, and she's been doing it for a long time, huh?
Yeah, yeah.
So tight.
I definitely was introduced to her as, like, when I arrived in the Bay Area years ago, and, yeah, a friend of mine had a shirt that I would borrow, and I just thought it was really tight, and I was like, I brought it. I was like, oh, I'll borrow it and wash it and bring it back, and then I wore it again, and eventually, she's like, you can keep it. And I was stoked, because it looks really cool.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is a tight person. And thinking about systems, I liked the sort of end there of, like, systemized order of space and comprehension of entropy, and like for a while I kept hearing the word entropy used a lot, and I kept having the suspicion that it was being used in different ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like I would be like, huh, the way that used in context seems like it's a different word than how it was used here. And so I finally got a physics book and started reading it to get this physicist's definition of what it was. And I don't know, I was happy to have a clearer idea on that. So I thought I'd maybe, this is digressing, but that's not discouraged on Parhesia Hour. Just real quick, just so we can all be on the same page, because I found it a relief to have that it was the breaking apart of particles. And that it basically, if you could reverse entropy, you could reverse time. Like in the way that time is attached to gravity, and entropy, the sort of like uniformizing of things sort of like breaking apart.
It's the
into
breaking
chaos.
Down of systems, yeah, into chaos.
Yeah.
So it's like that. Yeah, it's
and
like
that's
that
orderly.
Act of breaking down. Yeah.
And like I sort of, so when she kind of put the comprehension of entropy, because it is this sort of trippy thing of like things. Like through disorder finding actually uniformity, and to me that related to a lot of sort of perhaps more chaotic types of music that I'll be interested in, like free jazz things that'll be this like crazy cacophony that's sort of in the end you're like, oh, there's actually sort of this uniformity, like these patterns, it's almost like this flat, not a flat line of sound, but sort of yeah, it ends up exploring that concept a lot. And so I kind of liked hearing that she was, like, very directly interested in looking at that.
Yeah, contemplating entropy, dude. We do it on a daily basis, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Or what is life but slow entropy?
Yeah, yeah. The breaking apart and...
DMX told me we're born to die.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
And it's true. He's really getting into something.
So I might as well get money.
that's one conclusion to come to, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. That's DMX's take on entropy.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. I think you're onto something. Yeah.
I think he was onto something. but yeah, she's amazing. That band's amazing. That label, amazing.
Yeah, you know something about the guy from
Yeah,
label.
it's the dude Silent Servant, Lee runs the label, Nostalevo, based out of here in LA. Just slap after slap, it never stops. They have a Bandcamp that I listen to a lot. I'm sure they got a lot of other stuff out there, but
yeah,
man, just such good shit coming out of that label right now. I think Silent Servant's playing out here pretty soon. Didn't we talk about that? Like May 2nd, I believe.
Servant.
Damn, that's gonna be
good. I wonder where I'm typing it in. Well, we can come back with that information.
Yeah. So yeah, when you asked me to pick these songs, you know, I was just like, what have I been listening to a lot lately? What have I been listening to consistently for a really fucking long time? And that's how we started it, because that rim has just been stuck in my head for a really long time, dude. And then I wanted to somehow get to like what we're gonna play next, which is Cut Hands, and I thought Podblots was the perfect little medium for that.
Yeah.
And Cut Hands is a lot of more of what we were talking about earlier, just filling up this space with a lot of really tight shit. And in his case, it's a lot of drum samples, a lot of African instruments, I believe. He's super into that. From what I understand, this guy just has all these different percussion instruments and samples all of them, puts them together in a fucking really tight way.
Yeah.
And he's one of the guys from White House. Super tight.
Yeah, they're an inspiration.
Yeah, to all.
Yeah, yeah. Especially their old videos of the performances. I'm like so happy
so
exist.
Good,
yeah. I was like, this was before my time, and I'm so glad someone thought to capture this.
Yeah.
And like, it was a... able to bring that attitude. Oh, they're just like, oh man, they just have that look of like this kind of this like rocker, like leather jacket sort of thing, but they're just doing these like, yeah, power electronics, like, and just screaming. Like, it look like this one I'm thinking of, it looks, maybe it's an art gallery, it's hard to tell, but it's sort of like wow, they're just not holding back. And especially to be kind of, yeah, doing that at that time, I feel like they're just like, they brought a lot of confidence to what they're doing, which I feel like is really key. If you're like doing something kind of out there and that people are gonna be like, why is this guy screaming to all this, like, these crazy sounds? He just owned it completely. And to me, you're like, oh, wow, yeah, that's what's necessary. You can't do that hesitantly. Or you can, but I'm gonna be less interested in it personally. So
yeah,
they're inspiring in that way. And this music that is being continued to do like decades later is like also
so good,
really, really up there, I think. So and I don't know, it speaks for itself in a lot of ways. It's like, check it out and kind of get back to it. Yes. Yeah.
Getting, so tight.
Getting into that signature feedback squeak. Yeah. This is a show. This is Parhesia hour. it's all about what you believe to be the truth and not holding back and sharing that even if you think it might have repercussions for you that are it's being like, I think it's more important to say what I'm thinking right now. And we haven't gotten too deep into that on this show so far. But, stay tuned. Keep tuning in. Oh, this is some good time to say some important information. This show is at 10 a.m. every other Wednesday. So today is a Wednesday, two Wednesdays from now. The next one is May 6th. And it's all archived on kchung.org. And then the Tumblr, parhesiahour.kchungradio.tumblr.org. I'll get more on that.
Yeah, dot computer.
Yes. I think everything's fairly intuitively named. With Parhesia Hour and Kchung being in the URLs. And now here back in the Mac End, Cut Hands Boiler Room live show. This seems to come up on
very tight. Yeah, I saw Cut Hands a while ago, maybe not too long ago, but open for Godflesh, and damn, shit was so tight live, dude. Super intense. You do these little dance moves that I really liked.
Yeah, you're saying
it was
that.
Fucking amazing, dude. Just a projection of someone just dancing, like, along to that, like, really fast, intense, just drums, dude. It was really tight.
Yeah, sort of like that. It's like suggestion of how to enjoy. Like, you might be confused. Like, what am I supposed to do now? And he's like, enjoy it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, this is music to be enjoyed versus
the intensity live too was what I was just, because I've liked, I just hadn't seen him live before. And when I saw it, I was just like, so even more down,
Yeah.
It was just really fucking good.
Yeah.
Just being hit in like the face and the chest with like literally 12,000 drums in like, 6 minutes or something like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think, that's on Blackest Ever Black also, I'm pretty sure. Just really fucking... Such a solid record label, man.
Yeah. It's through community growing.
And that song was called Eat 'Em Like Bread. So. It's not weird.
Eat 'Em Like Bread. It sounds like a phrase possibly from a drum thing he sampled. I'm making big.
It's really tight.
large leaps in my willingness to guess. And since we're talking about Silent Servant a decent amount, we were thinking of playing some of that music.
Throw that at you.
And checking out what that is, because, I don't know, I've definitely been liking I feel like there's a pretty consistent thread going from song to song.
Yeah. And also, dude, Silent Servant not only is his project tight as fuck, his record label's tight as fuck. I met him a couple times, just really cool dude, man. And really into putting out great shit, and of like not any specific genre or whatever the fuck, just like if he likes it, he puts it out and it's awesome, dude.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So like not genre, like specific.
Yeah, no, he's got a bunch of different stuff on there, and that's another reason that I love just like, hitting up the Bandcamp whenever I'm doing whatever, is because it'll just like go to all these different places and it's fucking tight. Yeah. And it's all tight, so
go down that musical. Someone described, I remember when I was a teen, this girl describing like, she's like, oh, a K-hole, it's kind of like when you're on Wikipedia you just keep learning. And she just was like, so Wikipedia, that's the best way to describe being in a K-hole. It's just, you just keep clicking on links and just going deeper and deeper and deeper.
It's like a world star hip hop hole. And then you just feel like a really shit person after that.
Yeah. Whereas the Wikipedia one, you come out feeling smarter, but being like, what do I know?
Yeah, not sure. But yeah, I do that quite often too. The Wikipedia one.
I hope I learned something here. There's some thing where if you click the first non-parenthesized link of any Wikipedia article, you eventually end up at the philosophy page.
Weird.
It's some rule. I did it once and it works. Just like choose any topic.
And just keep going.
And it's, yeah, I think it's the first link that is like a word not in parentheses, like not a date, and just keep clicking it and it'll eventually, and you kind of see it as it happens. It starts making sense. You're like, oh, yeah, I'm getting towards philosophy.
So we should start picking something and then doing that, but reading every single one and figuring out the path.
Yeah, and if you reverse, yeah, and I kind of like this, if you reverse it, then you see how that philosophy informed like can openers.
Yeah, yeah, perhaps, exactly. Totally.
How it got there. Like, that's, I don't know, it's a good.
It would be really fun, and it would be not a complete waste of time.
Yeah. I only did it a few times years ago,
yeah.
And now I forget the. And it doesn't work unless you have the rule.
Like, what are you doing tonight? Like, nothing, bro. I'm not doing shit.
Trying to do the foundation.
Yeah. I'm
just trying to figure out this damn lampshade.
Yeah. The philosophical foundations of everything around me.
Yeah.
Like, what can I trace this back to?
No, I'm not trying to party, dude.
Not trying to party. I got a project.
Yeah.
that's a hermit.
Yeah.
That's what you do.
Yeah.
Staying in, getting in deep into your own head, and then writing about it on Arrowid.org later, perhaps, and being like, these people all think I'm cool.
Yeah.
I suppose. As hopefully you get that approval. That's a whole other topic. I have this friend who like wrote a paper on like virtual communities as like, dude, real support communities.
It's funny you say this, yeah.
He did a lot through, he kind of was comparing, because he's like, he was in a program like for psychology, and it was, they were comparing it to these, actually in Venice Beach, it was a community of older Jewish women who would meet in Venice Beach to like share kind of like their experience, because they weren't in a community surrounded by like-minded or like experienced folks. And he was like, yeah, that was like a thing people did in the 70s a lot, and now we have online forums where, like using that as like supplements in therapy, like tell your patient to go home and just chat to people online, and definitely explore the dangers of like.
See, that's what it's funny you bring this up, because I just heard on some podcast, I can't remember, but it was about like virtual communities turning into like virtual mobs, and how. Yeah.
The dark side.
Yeah, the dark side, exactly. And how, you know, for better or for worse, you know, it can go either ways. But, like, for instance, the, what was her name? It was the lady that got on the plane and made a tweet about going to Africa. And it was, like, a really racist, shitty tweet, like, super privileged.
I didn't hear about that.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I hope I don't get AIDS.
Yes, she said, I can't remember her name. So she, can you look up her name? Just put in like
racist AIDS.
Yeah, racist. Yeah, exactly.
I'm typing that.
Yeah.
Justine Sacco, PR executive fired over racist tweet.
So okay, so this is the point of that. So she gets on the plane, makes this shitty racist tweet.
Going to Africa, hope I don't get AIDS, just kidding, I'm white.
Yes. What a piece of shit, right? But then the crazy, like, so she turns off her phone. So like lays down, goes to sleep, and in the length of that flight, her entire life is just shitted on by the internet. But the crazy part is the internet shitting on her transfers to real life, i.e. the mob on the internet is calling her out for what she did, and she's like being brought to justice for this because of this like virtual community, you know what I'm saying? And so it's pretty funny when you think about it. Like, you say something shitty, you go to sleep, you wake up in Africa and you're fired from your job. You're utter garbage in life. Everybody knows that about you now.
Everybody knows now.
Yeah, and then the crazy thing is, well, you know, you're getting all these like threats and shit talked to you, which, you know, is bad, but I get don't make a fucking tweet like that. It's stupid. But the best part is, like, now ever since that happened, like, you can never Google her name ever without seeing this tweet.
So
it's literally just like tarnished, and it's all because the internet was like, you should lose your job, and in real life she fucking lost her job, you know.
It's a powerful new force to engage with, which comes with that power being like, hope people can find positivity, people can be, you know, justice, and
or it can get really fucking dark,
which has been a lot, like the that one like video game, she's involved in video games, this woman who's
really been fighting
back against that, and it's really brought up like
the misogyny,
legal action in this, like to actually address that stuff. That's a place to I don't know, people can react where they just get really instantly defensive. Like, you could be like, oh, I'm gonna be honest and think about what I see, or a lot of people just get instantly defensive and like shut down.
I often trip on like the virtual community of fools that are like have headsets on and are playing like an army like fucking video game where they're just like shooting the shit out of everybody, and it's like kind of a fucking scary thought, dude. You know what I'm saying? Like, just a bunch of fools that are just sitting in their living rooms, but then the whole objective of this community is like shooting down the bad guy, you know, and in the, you know, and
they have
the army, like straight up army video game, like our Marine military shit, dude. It's crazy.
They literally, I have a friend in college,
like, that play was, Madden, dude. Football's better. You know what I'm saying? I'm just kidding.
I mean, it depends, you know, you can really remove yourself from it, but there were army recruiters on college campus, and my friend was into like shooting games. And he was like, oh, tight, free video game? They're like, yeah, you know, we're the army, and we just made this video game, so it's super realistic, because we're in, you know, we know what it's like.
Yeah.
So it'll be the most realistic.
We're the army, we just like making video games. It's not like a ploy promote the army to the youth.
So he got it, and he's pretty good. So he brings it home and starts playing, and then he starts getting contacted by recruiters.
Dude.
And it was literally a game to find high scoring, because they've actually found a connection between being good at those games and being good at shooting.
That's nutty. And like reactions, probably strategy.
Same with like sports games too. Like, they've done studies on like, oh, you played that like FIFA game a lot, now you're better on the soccer field.
But then you have to think about like, I'm a 300 pounder because I only play FIFA.
Yeah. I think it was like just being in the, approaching the game conceptually,
which
giving you better.
There's nothing wrong with that, I guess. I'm sorry.
Yeah. You're just stating facts.
Yeah, totally. But it's like, damn, you're going to recruit in video games now, like Godsmack concerts weren't enough, you know what I'm saying? Like, yes. Having a pull-up bar outside of a Godsmack concert.
Yeah.
You know they got fucking, I'm gonna estimate, what, 2 million people from that, dude? 2 million new recruits from a Godsmack tour? That's sick.
Down with the sickness.
Yeah, that band wasn't even tight.
No.
Not even a good band, bro.
Now they've got Kid Rock on their side, or the Republican Party.
We'll start talking shit about Kid Rock. I'm trying to just chill, please.
Yeah. Let's do silent service.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Cool. We'll talk about him.
Let's see.
Play him.
Cool. And we'll get into that now.
We'll be right back.
Silent Servant.
Very tight. Speed and Violence.
And Violence.
AKA My Life. No, I'm just playing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and that, I mean, there I'm thinking about with that song. That was definitely the most, I feel like, dance-oriented.
For sure.
Song which I'm, I don't know, at least to me, I was thinking about that. I have certain themes on the show about kind of the idea of, yeah, what headspace does it put you in, and is this constructive, sort of? Like, what can you get out of being in this headspace? And so I'm imagining, you know, dancing. That was the most dance-oriented, you know, repetitive. And it makes me think of this thing that I had to think about a lot, and I still don't have any conclusions on it, but the mythology scholar, Joseph Campbell, bunch of tight videos, The Power of Myth, and he has this little story he tells about meeting this guy in Japan who's telling him about their culture, and Joseph Campbell says to him, he's like, "So, but what's your ideology?" And the guy's like, he thinks about it, he's like, "Huh," and he like pauses and strokes his chin, and he says, "You know, I don't think we have ideology. We dance." And like, that was his take. He was like, we just, you know, and to me, I was thinking about like, kind of like dance, like feel it out, sort of like put yourself in tune with the sort of aesthetic stimuli around you.
Yeah, you're in tune. It's literally telling you what to physically do with your body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And
which
like,
slaps.
And if you are good at listening to your body, which is a good thing to be good at, mm-hmm. as it's your like body, then you're gonna like know what to do.
Yeah.
You're gonna.
How great would the world be if everybody just danced?
Yeah, man. I'm working on trying to figure that out. Yeah. How to get people less removed from like paying attention to the details.
So I heard yesterday that the number one, like there was a survey, and the number one concern nationally for healthcare in the US is how cheap their prescription medicine is. And it just made me kind of like shake my head a little bit, like, damn.
That's a concern.
And if we, yeah, that's the concern.
About it being cheap.
Being
gotcha.
Cheap,
not concerned
yeah.
that it's cheap.
No, they want it to stay cheap. Yeah. And I was like, damn. So maybe if like the world just danced first, they wouldn't have to worry about like being fucked up, spending money on.
I do think you're onto something.
Yeah.
Like, and that there are a lot of other ways. I'm not convinced that the solutions. I think we found a lot of solutions in our modern times mm-hmm. and with a. Modern science, and I think it's still a pretty young field that has made like massively super amazing advances, and as far as like its place in the history of humanity still being figured out, perhaps.
Oh, the medical field?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Like there's still a lot of research to be done.
Mm-hmm.
Like there still is a lot of research being done.
There's a lot of money to be made, bro.
Yeah,
that's not why.
That too. That's unfortunately, I think, a large motivator of those industries. I mean, there's been other radio shows I've listened to that really go into deep of like, why does this pill cost this, and why does this pill cost this if mm-hmm. they cost the same too?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the research is like massively expensive, I think. It's just like, you know, splitting atoms, like doing like things that were impossible, like I'm not talking about splitting atoms, but like
cell reactions.
Yeah, really getting in deep there beyond.
Oh, you want to talk about splitting atoms? Don't get me started.
Maybe that'll be next time.
Yeah.
May 6th.
I fucking hope so.
And it's, I think Steven will be with us then as well.
Hell yeah, dude. Round two.
Yeah, and to mention before we head out this this fine Wednesday morning here on Kaechung. Feel free to try to participate. I haven't nailed the how you will participate. There's the Instagram. There's the Twitter. I'll start checking that. There's the Kaechung Radio Twitter. If you sort of tweet at it, we can respond to things. If you want to participate
we
in any
just
discussion,
make room for this show.
Yeah, that's true. I'll get on that. And a Tumblr, and by interacting with those things, you can expand the discussion.
Yeah, and we could like play requests if they're not garbage.
Yeah,
I'll be the judge of that.
Yeah, no, and it's very. Yeah, well, hey, we will. Well, why would we just because you want to play doesn't mean we have to listen to you?
Yeah,
like you know whatever. Not entitled to this.
Yeah, this is. Hopefully, this is the first of many, dude. It'll be super fun with a little less feedback.
Yeah. Or maybe one of pure. I won't do that.
Let's provoke some thoughts.
I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't be annoying for the sake of being annoying. I like there being some idea behind anything that's strenuous.
Yeah.
Or like not straining people for the sake of it.
But I think all in all, as a first show, that went fucking, or like mine.
Yeah.
Pretty tight.
Cool.
Yeah.
And what we have in the back here, well. Actually, it has transferred, but we're gonna take you out on what's kind of the theme record here of this show is Sun Ra, the Antique Blacks, one of my favorites. It happens to be at a kind of squeaky saxophone solo at the moment.
That's tight.
I'm
not scared.
We'll let it right in until the next show, which is coming right up. LA Made Originals. All right, thanks for tuning in to Parhesia Hour.
Peace.